But that's okay. But that is not to say that that was the first meeting that I ever attended. That, I mean, it wasn't my first clean date. We'll put it that way. I had been going to meetings for a while, whether I wanted to or not wanted to. I vaguely remember my first meeting. I think it was in an institution. I don't know, but I was high. I know that. And it says in that chapter that it is impossible for me to recover until I stop using, because it is impossible for me to recover on any sort of level while my body and my mind is clouded by substance. It's impossible. Now, it also says in that chapter that simple abstinence isn't good enough, but I have to start there. You know, it talks about in there how, you know, my problem is more than just a drug, so I need to do a few things besides stop using in order to recover. So I came around for a while, and you know, like, it wasn't until, like, the pain got great enough. That's, you know, like, it's what they say. You know, we hear that all the time around here. It wasn't until the pain got great enough because, like, I couldn't accept my reality. Talked a lot about in that chapter about self-acceptance, accepting the world around me, and how I have a real problem with that. And, you know, even though, you know, I just celebrated 13 years clean, all this stuff still applies because I still suffer from the disease of addiction, and I still need to do these basic things. You know, if you don't know what those basics are, they're basically, you know, home group, sponsor, literature, go to meetings, don't pick up, higher power. You know, it talks about all those things in the, in this chapter. I currently started working my third step over again with my sponsor, and you know, I've been through the steps before, and it says, and I might be paraphrasing because I'm not the type of person who can really, really readily, you know, quote literature, but it says in there that, and I like this when I read it, that, you know, coming to an understanding of a higher power for us is a project that we can undertake. And my idea of a higher power when I first worked the third step is vastly different than what it is today. Because when I first came in here, I had a lot of hang-ups about God. I was brought up in a religious home. And I was stuck in this, like, you know, they tell us we need to pick a higher power that's loving and caring. Well, my higher power loved me conditionally. It wasn't an unconditional love. My higher power did not accept me. Unconditionally. So when I came into these rooms, when I started hearing about this talk about higher power, it scared the shit out of me. Yeah, I tried. It scared me a lot, and you scared me, and everything scared me. I walked around in fear, and things still scare me. They can. And, you know, and I had to get to a place where, like, you know, I remember saying to someone, how do I trust a higher power? How do I do that? And they said, well, start by trusting someone else. And in the chapter, What Can I Do? It talks about sponsorship and how those who get the most out of this program value sponsorship. It also talks about how our sponsor can be the first person who we really have a connection with. And for me, that was definitely true. Because I didn't trust you. I didn't even trust my sponsor. It wasn't until I started working through steps with my sponsor that I started to gain a little bit of trust and say, hey, well, you know, maybe, I can trust someone else. Maybe this higher power thing could work for me. Maybe, you know, and it was, you know, as I worked through the steps with my sponsor and I started growing, a connection with the sponsor, like, that higher power thing and that how all that, like, started to work itself out for me. You know, I found out that in working that third step the first time, that honestly it wasn't, like, God or whatever you want to call it. It was how I felt about myself that was the problem. I was projecting how I felt about myself onto this higher power. So I had to learn how to, like, you know, they told me to use the runes. I had to, like, learn how to accept your love for me and your acceptance of me until I could, like, get there myself. And that's what I've done for a long time, and I still do today, because today I can still get to a place where I really don't have a lot of self-acceptance. You know, it talks about in there, you know, about how, you know, our best defense against a relapse is working the steps. So I continue to work the steps. And I still continue to work the steps. You know, just because I worked through them once doesn't mean I don't need to work through them again. And like I said, I'm back on my third step. And I called my sponsor the other day because I was getting hung up and complicating the shit out of things yet again. And because I've gotten to this point in my recovery where, like, you know, talked about God of our understanding, and I'm like, I don't understand anymore. I've gotten to a place in my recovery where I don't understand necessarily. I don't have, like, this clear-cut understanding like I felt like I had when I initially worked the third step. She's like, it's okay. It's okay. Like, really. You know, so I continue to use these rooms. I continue to use, when it all boils down to it, if I had to define a higher power, it all goes back to love. It goes back to spiritual principles. It goes back to giving back. So that's what I do. I don't need to give my God a title. I just know that something's working. You know, I was praying before I came down here, and I was praying on the way here. You know, it was a beautiful drive here, and, you know, I've gotten to the place where I enjoy quiet. When I walked into this room, if I wasn't listening to music that was making my ears bleed, I was not okay. You know, like, now I thrive on the quiet and getting to that place with, you know, so I can hear, or I can just be, or I can meditate and just be in the moment, because the moment is okay today. I've been through a lot of hard shit lately, and that self-acceptance piece has been really, really, really vital to me. It always has been, but it keeps coming up, and so, like, I keep need to taking a look at that, because, like, I get to that point where, like, I don't feel like I should be what I am. I feel like I should be something other. You know, I got 13 years clean. I shouldn't be feeling this way. Well, it's crap. It is. Because life happens. Life goes on. It talks about in there, you know, we can't change reality. The only thing we can change is how we react to it and how we feel about ourselves. And, you know, sometimes I still react ways I don't want to react. Sometimes I feel ways that I don't want to feel. I don't want to, you know, accept my reality of what's going on around me. And I feel like I judge myself. You know, my conversations with my sponsor lately have been, be gentle with yourself. And I'm like, how the hell is someone, how do you do that? How does someone be gentle with themselves? Like, really? That's not, you know, no. But no, it's true. It's very true. I got to give myself a break. You know, this chapter talks about the newcomer a lot. You know, it talks about what can the newcomer do, you know? And yeah, when I was new and reading this, great. I'll do these things and I might have a chance to stay clean. But it still applies. I still need to apply these basics. It talks about in there how I have to guard against becoming stagnant, or the disease, the symptoms of my disease will present, you know, I'll start suffering from the symptoms of my disease again. Suffering. And I was letting, you know, I've had periods in my recovery, and not that long ago, where I was getting stagnant. I was getting away from the basics. And I don't always mean to. You know, life happens. I have a life today. This program has given me a life. It's given me a beautiful life. You know, I have a family. I have a job. I have friends. I have responsibilities. And I like to complain about those responsibilities sometimes, but they're good. I have freedom today that I can take care of those responsibilities. When I came in here, I couldn't take care of shit. Like, you know, I came into recovery, like, you know, I had never had my electricity turned off before. And to be honest, it's because I lived with mommy. She took care of all that shit, so I moved out on my own. I didn't have my electricity turned off until I got into recovery. I probably had 6 months clean. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? You know, like, do they, you know, like, I had no idea how to pay a bill on time. I had no idea that the electric company wasn't going to understand that I got other shit going on. Like, really. And all that stuff has been a process, you know. And I love that it says in there that this change is gradual. Definitely, it's a gradual change. So I don't need to, I haven't showed up. I haven't arrived. You know, I don't get this thing right all the time. But as I was praying and meditating earlier, and, you know, I'm getting hung up on that third step, and I just had this, like, thing inside of me, if God talks, whatever, I don't know. But it was like, if you just do your best, you're going to be taken care of. Just do your best and be taken, you know, because I don't like getting up here. I don't like standing in front of people and talking. I don't like people looking at me, even though I got, you know, the purple, you know, like, really, you would think that I'd be, you know, no. And I just heard it again, you know, get up there, do your best, and you'll be taken care of. You know, and don't pick up. Most importantly, don't pick up. If I don't pick up, I have a chance. And, you know, and it talks about in there about how one of the, you know, in here about building up our self-esteem. And one of the best ways to get out of ourselves is to give back. So here I am. I have been so, like, wrapped up in my head lately. You know, people are dying around me. You know, my mom is sick. You know, she needs a lot of help. You know what I mean? Like, financially, yeah, I pay my bills now, but, you know, I'm not rich. You know, like, it's just, you know, life. And I get wrapped up in my head. And I remember very clearly, I don't even know if I had 30 days on, somebody telling me the best way to get out of myself is to help someone else. And it came right out of that chapter. You know, I read it a little bit ago. Help someone else. So service work. And it talks in there about service work is one of the best ways we can start to feel good about ourselves, because we're giving back. We're doing something good. We can feel a part of something, because the disease isolates us. It isolates us, and it still wants to isolate me. It wants to isolate me in this group, in this beautiful retreat. Like, it's sick how I can walk here, I can come here, and still be so isolated and get caught up in that. So, you know, one of the best ways, and one of the ways that I started feeling better about myself was I got really super involved in NA, and I am still involved in NA. And I've been involved, you know, from day one. And today it's, you know, I'm involved in different ways. I'm involved with my home group, area service, you know, I've done H&I, you know, I've done all those things. And it made me feel like maybe I can do something right for a change instead of going out and screwing up my whole life. Disappointing everyone. I come in here and I'm not a disappointment anymore. You know? And probably one of the best things that NA has given me and this program and recovery has given me was, you know, one of the people that I hurt the most in my active addiction was my mom. Because, like I said, I lived with her. You know? And I put her through hell. Took advantage of her. And one of the worst things is, you know, I made her worry. You know, wondering where I'm at, thinking I'm dead, you know, whatever. And one of the best things this program has given me was, you know, the one day she was at my house and she needs a lot of help now. And I try to help her because, A, I love her, and, B, you know, it's the right thing to do. And then I want to. I want to be there. And she told me, I don't have to worry about you anymore. I'm like, really? Really? You don't got to worry about me anymore? Like, wow. You know, she's like, my friends used to tell me, your mom's calling me again. Like, really, call your mom. Okay, no. That was the last place I wanted to go. I had a home, but I would have rather sleep in my car than go home and see the look on her face, you know? It talks about in there, about sponsorship and about, one of the most profound changes we can see in our lives is in relationships. And don't get me wrong, relationships are difficult. No matter what type of a relationship that is. The basic text says, you know, relationships, you know, can be, I can't remember what the word describe it. yeah, it can be either difficult. We'll just put it that way. And I don't always know how to interact with people, and my sponsor helps me out a lot with that still today. Because I'm still very self-obsessed, and I still act on fear, and I still care what people think about me a lot of the time. And I still, like, don't have great boundaries. And I still, you know, all that stuff. I still work on that stuff today, and the steps help me with all of that stuff. You know, the steps for me today isn't all just about not using. Ultimately, yeah, it comes back to that. Don't pick up. But, like, there's freedom. You know, there's more freedom than just not using. You know, and getting to that place, you know, and some days I've been blessed with that freedom from self-obsession. Other days, not so much. Oh, I've gone over my time, haven't I? No? Wow. This program is beautiful, you know, like, when I came in here, I never thought, like, I just wanted to stop, I didn't even want to stop using, like, honestly, I didn't want to stop using. I just didn't want to hurt anymore, and I could have never imagined that I would be standing here 13 years later, you know, I celebrated on the 1st, so quite literally 13 years later, telling you about how I have some kind of freedom today. You know, I never thought that the program would allot me this. My life is definitely not, you know, I just wanted to use without hurting so much. And the more I stuck around and the more I just, you know, took those simple suggestions, you know, in that chapter and from my sponsor and, you know, and from the Wii and going to meetings, you know, it talks about in there about how, like, and when we first show up to meetings, like, that's all we can do. We just show up. You know, it takes time that we can start giving back. You know, and when we show up and we share our pain, that pain can be lessened. You know, and I still do that. You know, one of my home group members and a close friend of mine just passed away. And I showed up at my home group, and I was really, really pissed off. Like, I just wanted to be angry. And I showed up. And I showed up to a room full of people who just hugged me and loved me and let me be angry and let me share about it. And when I left there, I was not as angry. You know, some of that pain was lessened. So I still do that today. You know, my pain might be different today, but I still can identify with the pain of using. And I don't forget. I don't let myself forget. I don't. I can't. Because I don't want to go back there. You know? And, but the possibilities are endless if I keep coming back and not picking up and keep going to meetings and I keep sharing and I keep getting honest. You know, talks about in there how dishonesty, closed-mindedness, and unwillingness are our three of our greatest enemies. So I try very hard to stay in the how of the program, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, no matter how I think I should be today, how I feel like, you know, with 13 years I should be feeling or doing or whatever. You know, I try to do those things. And, I don't know. Thank you, Retreat Committee, for, you know, asking me to share. And it's a beautiful day. And I hope you all enjoy the rest of the retreat. And I guess that's all I have. Thanks.
Good job. I would like to introduce our second speaker, Brandon C. from the Recovery and Clear View Group of NA in the Bastna.
Yep. Brandon, I'm an addict. I want to thank the committee for asking me to speak. It's always an honor. I want to thank my higher power for the good, the bad, the indifferent. Most importantly, the willingness to hang on, because during those times, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. When I think of, like, what can I do, it's about that willingness for me, because you know, I heard somebody else share, you know, we oftentimes hear that it's not a program for the people that want it, not a program for the people that or I'm sorry, not a program for the people that need it, not a program for the people that want it. It's a program for the people that'll fucking do it. It's about showing up and doing the work. And I remind my sponsees, it's not a meeting a day program. It's not a before and after selfies on Facebook program. It's a 12-step program. I see a lot of people doing more recovering on Facebook than like recovering internally. I don't confuse like the social acceptability equals recovery thing today. You know, there's a quote I like that like a lighthouse doesn't scamper around an island looking for people to save. It just stands tall and shines. And for me, when I think of like what can I do, I think of how like there's a clear difference between being informed and transformed. I'm not going to study some speaker tapes on the way up here or YouTube some Joel Osteen or whatever and come spit some external shit that don't mean nothing to me. But that's going to sound real cool. It's about like taking these steps and writing these steps, because I really feel that like I just like write steps to get familiar enough with the principles to internalize them and integrate them into my life, and then with that transformation just live my life. Like the greatest message we'll ever share isn't one from the podium. It's in how we conduct our lives. And it's always an honor. I too still get nervous. I oftentimes use this little story to kind of equate things. There was a group of us in recovery that went whitewater rafting, and I don't know what it's called. It's a hydraulic or something where the front of the boat goes down and the back flips up real quick. And I was in the back of the boat and I shot up and I came back down and like I didn't hit the raft real great. And like I'm going out of the raft, I'm falling backwards. And like, and when we're falling, you know, in recovery off a raft, you'll grab a hold of anything. You know, desperation kicks in. And so I'm flailing about, and my hand lands on something, and what it landed on was like the bare, hairy flesh of like my friend's upper thigh. And and like I'm freaking out because that's really weird and uncomfortable. And I spastically say to him, "Hey man, I hit one of them hydraulics and I was going out the back and that's why my hand's on your hairy thigh." And he just like looks at me because we're at we've drifted a ways now with my hand on his thigh, and he says, "It'll cease being so awkward like when you let go." and like sometimes like it's as easy as that. Like I get worked up, I try to think up some witty stories to tell, and then you know, then God normally steps in. So we just have a quick moment of silence just to let go. Thank you. I got a little emotional there. I had my hand in my pocket and was jingling, and I normally like to share with like a little prop like in my pocket, and I have, it was the guy I'd sponsor longer than any guy I've sponsored, and when he passed, his significant other that had never met me handed me the last medallion he picked up before he overdosed and died. And he said, she said, "You know, I've never met you, but the way Nate talked about you, I could tell how much you guys loved each other. And I know there's nobody else that would get more out of having his medallion than you." And so, like, I carry that with me. And like I said, I kind of consider it a prop. Because like I know it's the program of Narcotics Anonymous, the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous that keeps me moving forward, but it's the fellowship and people that have passed and are here now that prop me up and continue to keep me upright as I go down and face things that I can't handle myself. I always hear the little adage like God will never give you more than you can handle, and I feel that there should be like one of those dot dot dots. Because, like, I've had plenty that I, in and of myself, cannot handle. You know, I had been wanting to go to, like, nursing school and do that for years. I went to orientation. I was, like, so overwhelmed. I was ready to withdraw. Like, I couldn't even get to, like, the first day of class by myself. Like, I'm 32 and I brought my girlfriend to orientation. Like, there's, like, 18-year-olds that, like, brought their mother. Or they didn't bring their mother. Like, and I'm 32 and with my girlfriend at orientation. And that's just, like, a small example of, like, I might have been able to do that myself. But yeah, probably. But you know, there's plenty of stuff I can't do by myself. And that's what I've been attracted to this program with. I don't remember a whole lot that was said, like, my first meeting. I wasn't attracted to like, the higher power thing. I wasn't attracted to the steps. What got me is when I rattled off whatever kind of garbage I was going through that day. I think it was how I wanted to stay clean so bad, how I wanted to change my life, how I thought this time was going to be it. But I got a flat tire after IOP, and now I'm high again. And like, I thought it was so silly and stupid, and how can I not get this? It's a flat tire, but I'm high again. And, like, I saw someone, like, nodding their head. And, like, they weren't high nodding. Like, they agreed. Like, there was that recognition. And that's one of the greatest things I've gotten out of this program is, like, it's like a Me Too program. Never alone, never again. And like, through what can I do, I found, like, unless I need to become willing to be, like, vulnerable and let people in. Because, like I said, I used to, it was so important for me to put on this front and appear a certain way because, like, I had, like, no positive, like, thoughts of myself. So I had to keep this front up where I appeared, what I thought would be cool at all times. Like I said, I always put so much into, like, what a speaker was sharing. And like, you know, I'm hearing people, you know, with less time than I had, and they got all these sponsees, and they're sharing this fire, and like, I'd always think I was, like, shit, and so it was, like, real important for me to put on this front, like, I always had to maintain, like, what my outside appearance was, and until I was willing to get, like, vulnerable and let people in, it wasn't until then could I get some help, and I realized today that just because, like, I'm not ingesting a chemical doesn't always mean that I'm doing good. Because, like, when I think of, like, the disease and I think of, like, dope, I think of, like, a disease of practically everything. Dope. And, like, just because I'm, like not getting high today doesn't always mean, like, I need to take a look away from, like, how I'm living. Like, when I think of, like, reservations today, it's not about if I'm going to pick up a drug for this reason or for that reason. It's like a reservation for me today is like any place in my recovery where I reserve an excuse not to exercise spiritual principles, whether it's sending dick pics to chicks because I'm having a fight. And people talk about like, hey, you can't judge somebody. Well, you know what? I'm not going to judge you and treat you any different. Only God can judge you. No, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to take a look at your behavior. Because if your answer to everything in a relationship is send someone else a dick pic, then I ain't going to come to you and ask you how do I get through this. When it's an everyday practice for you and it's something like out of character for me, how are you going to hold me accountable? Like a friend today isn't just a yes man in Narcotics Anonymous. Like I want somebody to like hold me to the light, hold me to the truth. Because when I talk about living spiritually, a lot of times that's like how closely I'm living in reality. And one of my favorite lines in the basic text comes from this chapter, and it talks about how a lot of times, like, you know, it's easier for us to change our perception of reality than reality itself. You know what I mean? I can remember, like, operating an active addiction. Well, at least I'm not doing that, or at least I'm not doing this. I'm only snorting dope. I'm not shooting dope. Or at least I ain't a crackhead. And, like, at the end of the road, like, I was out of, like, at least I'm not this. You know what I mean? I came to recovery and, like, at least there's bath salt now. At least I can say, at least I ain't smuggling bath salt. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, I at least got that going for me, right? But, man, that was some weird cats. But,
But like I said, like I need people to like hold me accountable today, because like any time I want to reserve this spot in my recovery where I don't practice principle, it just like once the chink in the armor's open, then it just like cascades. Like it might only be a dick pic, it might only be I don't like what my employer pays me, so I'm gonna steal my iced tea at lunch. You know what I mean? Little stuff like that, but it sets in, like, you know, there's spiritual consequences to all that stuff. And I need to take a look at that. And lately, like I said, when I think about, like, what can I do, it's about, like, willingness. My life's picked up. You know, I have a child now. I'm back in school. So, like, my connection to, like, the fellowship and meetings all the time, it isn't what it was before. So a lot of it is, like, introspection and, you know, just kind of like growth on my own, like trying to, and I used to, for a while, I struggled with, am I growing at all? Should I just tell people I'm not speaking anywhere? You know, because I've gone to speak places and gotten hugs and handshakes and nice job, and like still wanted to like put the car into, like off a bridge on the way home. You know what I mean? Like there's a difference, you know, and the speaker before me talked about like being gentle to yourself. And like what I equate with that is like making myself a priority in my own life. Like that is my form of like being gentle. Because like I talked about like some Facebook, you know, copy and paste some spiritual quote type shit. And I hear a lot about like, I'm not going to make you a priority in my life if I'm only an option in yours. And like oftentimes, like I think of like, well, if you were a fucking priority in your own life, then maybe you wouldn't get treated like that. You know, when I'm willing to be someone's like side dude or something, or I'm willing to like not be in my own kids' life just so I can flit around and be a fucking social butterfly. Like that's not like taking a priority in my own life. You know, I noticed that the only time I like really moved forward in life prior to this was like when I was in a relationship and I was putting on a front. Like I'd hop in a relationship, well guess what, I'm signing up back for school. You know what I mean? What's a 401k? I may be interested now. But it, you know what I mean, it's like I realized today that like only through like not being in a relationship, like this like person talked about before, it's like I realized, you know, it says in that chapter like with our minds clouded, like we're not going to really internalize any of this. So like not being clouded by a relationship, I took like 2 years outside of a relationship. I didn't have like a lot of people beating down the door, so I can't say it's like I really made the conscious effort, but I wasn't in a relationship. And like I came to the realization, like relationships are great for people that want to be in relationships. They don't always work out real well for people that need to be in relationships. Like I said, like I didn't have any like self-worth, self-esteem, so like I needed to find somebody to love me so I could like maybe start to think that maybe I was worth loving or lovable. And when I was only doing these things for this person, like I realized that like a relationship, like the meat and potatoes of my life should be like what I bring to the table. Like I should bring happiness like to the table just in what's going on with me. Like the relationship shouldn't be everything. If I'm only getting out of bed because I'm in a relationship, then something's missing. You know, like the relationship should be like the seasoning for the thing. But you know, like I was only having the seasoning and wondering why I still felt so empty on the inside. You know what I mean? I had somebody that just started working with me the other day ask me like, well, what do you think about relationships like early on in recovery? And like, I don't think that like there's anything that like dooms you to fail like by getting in one like at 11 months other than like 13 months or something. But like, you know, I found like anything that I'm going to feel good from is going to distract me from what doesn't always feel good. You know what I mean? Because recovery isn't like an instant gratification process. You know, things are great when it's all like blowjobs and rainbows. You know what I mean? You know, like sign me up for that. But can like, yeah, I'm ready for blowjobs. Who isn't? You know what I mean? So like, are you ready for the phone call that she's like blowing your best friend now? You know what I mean? Because like that's happened. Like I'm talking unwrapping presents on Christmas morning, talking about how I want you to like adopt my daughter, this and that. And then New Year, she's smoking crack with what used to be my best friend. You know what I mean? The blowjob sounded good, but that didn't. You know what I mean? So I tell people, like it says, you know, it's a particularly painful area. Are you doomed for failure if you get in one early? No. Do they distract you sometimes from maybe where your attention might be better placed? Most likely. You know? And but I tell people if they're ready for that and prepared for that, that's great. You know, I don't try to like guide and manipulate, have my hands all over people's sponsees' lives. You know what I mean? Because I found like that can be some dope in people's lives. Disease of practically everything, like some sponsorship dope. Where I'm gonna tell somebody like, you can't do this, you can't do that. Ultimatum. I'm just here to like help people through the steps and support them through the decisions that they make. I had a sponsee at one time. I'm like, man, I'm kind of having a hard time getting a hold of you lately. He goes, no, I've seen you called. I just sent it to voicemail though.
No.
I was like, well, do you not like me anymore? And he's like, no. At this point, like, I know you're in a spot that's okay. You always know to call twice in a row if it's an emergency. But eventually, like, you need to grow comfortable in making decisions on your own. You know what I mean? I know, like, I'm not going to use my sponsors like I use a drug just to, like, get out of a situation, just to, like, give up control and just take a reprieve from reality. And so there might have been a different way to do that. But, like, his way of doing it was, like, you know what? I'm going to let you handle some things. I'm going to let you make decisions. I'm going to support you through your own decisions. Because, like, I didn't call for a, like, hey, pray about it and get back to me. I just wanted them to say, like, take this job. Go to school for this. You know what I mean? It's like, turning over, like, we talk about being an acceptable, responsible member of society. Like, until I accepted responsibility in my own life, you know what I mean? It was just kind of like using, but using something else.
Took a big blast of the campfire.
And I don't know, man. Like I said, lately, with not attending as many meetings, with not as much contact with my sponsor, I've really been trying to just do like a mindful 10 step. Just like take a look at like where my feet are, where my actions and behaviors are. Because I realize that like I'm still doing like a lot of like praying for stuff, but like I need to make sure like my actions are leading towards like what I'm praying for. Like am I acting in a way where I'm like set to receive like what I'm praying for? You know what I mean? Like I always thought like I wanted to like be a dad, man, and it's harder than I fucking thought. You know what I mean? And like I battle with the idea like, am I too selfish of an individual to be like a decent father? You know? Because we talk about like so much about like being like selfless in this program, and like I'll sponsor and I'll spend time, and shit even happened with like a sponsee where like a call was made or something and CYS stepped in, and like I was like the legal guardian of like their kids for the weekend, and like I'm willing to do that, but like I have trouble like being patient in my own son's life. You know what I mean? But like I'm used to like, you know, I had a kid a little later in life. I'm 32. Like I'm used to it's like it's Saturday, like I just spent all week doing school shit. Like, I want to go for a hike. Like, you know, I don't always want to chase him around. But like, that's the thing. Like maturing and step work isn't like an instant gratification, feel-good thing. I always tell sponsees, like, if that's what you want just to, like, feel good, then buy a puppy. Like, step work isn't it. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. We'll get you to a point eventually where you could feel good, but that's not like the sole purpose of the steps, is to like feel good. And like I realized like while growing, like there's growing pains, and like through growing, like being an adult, like prior to this, like prior to having my own kid, like I was still like living with my parents. So like I didn't do like a lot of adulting up to this, you know? So then to like be responsible for my life and somebody else's, it's been a growing process, and I've been sharing about it. And like I said, it's only through being like vulnerable, because I've, you know, like said, like pride tells me that like I want to be like, you know, I want to show up to a fucking meeting with the world's greatest dad mug, and he got me this bracelet for Father's Day that says couldn't ask for a better dad, and I want to be confident in that. But if I'm going to be vulnerable and honest and get any help, like, I'll share with you that I'm not always sure that I fucking am. You know, and I don't need to be the best dad in the world, but I just want to be competent, you know, as a father. And like, I got to take it back to, like, early recovery, because, like, a lot of times it's like judging somebody's outsides against my insides. You know, because how do I know what they're thinking? Because you look at me and, like, yeah, you'll think I'm a decent dad. You know, we go for walks. I have him in the stroller. We go for hikes. I got him in, like, the baby backpack deal. And I do the stuff that I think good dads do. But in my head, like, sometimes I'm thinking, like, man, if he, like, because it starts out with, like, he's crying. And next thing you know, I'm getting edgy with the girlfriend. And next thing it turns out to, like, man, I just want to fucking blow my brains out. And like, I don't know that I'd probably share that just on the street, but like in here, you know, I shared that at one meeting I was at, and like people told me, it's like, man, don't feel bad. I used to want to throw my kids out the window. And just, all right, but keep coming back. and like I said, it's not. I just struggle with the selflessness in that, and it sometimes it bums me out, because I feel like that's part of, like, the whole point of this program. It is, like, getting back to be less self-centered and more God-centered, and finding that God in all of us, and that God for me is love, and I've always found it's tougher to me to always show love to those that are closest to me. You know, I could be loving to a sponsee and not treat myself half as good, or not treat my girlfriend half as good as a sponsee. So today, you know, like, one of my favorite prayers a predecessor wrote was just, like, let my life be an example of your love. And that's what I'm trying to get back to, get through the frustration. I was talking with a good buddy. I learned through, like, analogies a lot of times. Sometimes what doesn't make sense to me, literally and in the book, somebody comes at me with, like, an analogy, and it makes sense. And I was talking to a buddy, and I said, it's a beautiful day to fly today. He was flying over to the East Coast, and he said, really, any day is a beautiful day to fly once you get above the clouds. And nothing to do with recovery. And I just got chills all of a sudden, and I'm thinking, you know, it's a beautiful day. Any day is a beautiful day to fly once you get above the clouds. And it's like, you know, like maybe any individual is a beautiful person, like, once you get above the clouds, once you get above the defects, once you get above the frustration, the anger, the impatience, you know. You know, that light that I see in other people that I'm attracted to, that same light exists in me. I just got to get above the clouds. You know, any day is a beautiful day to fly. Like, any recovering addict's a beautiful fucking person, is a beautiful example of recovery. And like I quote said, but it's not about scampering around the island looking for somebody to save. We're not NA evangelists in here. It's just about, like, turning that light and that love on in your life and shining. And like, if I can do that in a meeting and do that in a spot with a sponsee, or do that from a behind the podium, like, this message is meaningless unless I can take it into all aspects of my life. So it's just about, like, remembering that patience. Like, you know, I get, like, doubly nervous when I speak anymore, because it's like the nerves to speak, and, like, the nerve, like, what's going on, like, with the kid, like, off to the side, like, things gonna be cool when I finish, this and that. And like, the last time I spoke, it was just, like, a wreck, like, driving up. Like, he was freaking out, and I'm like, why am I even driving to share when, like, my thought is to just, like, drive this car off the road, you know? And we talk about, like, what can I do in willingness? Like, what can I do in willingness? It's like, not drive the car off the road. Park the motherfucker in Dollar General and take your son by the hand and just walk him around the parking lot till he calms down. You know what I mean? A lot of shit ain't real complicated in here. It's real basic. You know what I mean? I wanted something to be, you know, super deep and super philosophical. Sometimes it's just grabbing your son's hand and going for a walk. You know what I mean? We talk about love, lots of voluntary effort. You know what I mean? That wasn't the easiest thing to do in the moment, but you know what? It settled him down, and it settled me down. You know, it talks in that chapter about just doing one more thing, staying on the phone just an extra couple minutes. You know what I mean? Well, you'll hear a lot of people get up here and tell everybody, if no one told you they loved you today, I do. I think that's a lot of bullshit, frankly. You know what I mean? If no one told you they loved you today, you need to take a look at like who you're surrounding yourself with. Because love isn't just meant to be a cushy feeling I give out at the end of my fucking chair to get a bigger round of applause. Like, love is the action. Because I've heard people like spit out this love thing, and then like the guy with like maybe a little bit of like a learning disability or something calls after the meeting, and that motherfucker gets sent right to voicemail. Like, love is in my actions. Like, love is in the message I share outside of here. And so like I need to connect with like the higher power within me, and be able to do it with the people that takes a little bit more effort. To try just one more time. Oh, I fucking tried this with you before. It doesn't go work well. Well, I'm going to try again. And whether that's with applying principles in my own life, with people it's a little bit more difficult with, or with whatever, you know. It's all beautiful once you get above the clouds. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.